Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're reading 1 Nephi chapter 4. So far in 1 Nephi, we've met Nephi, who is the protagonist and the author of the book. And he and his family were living together in Jerusalem during the reign of King Zedekiah, several hundred years before the birth of Christ. But then Nephi's father, Lehi, had a vision in which the Lord commanded him to take his family and leave Jerusalem because the city was going to be destroyed. And so they got out into the desert, and Nephi's two oldest brothers, Laman and Lemuel, are complainers. They are not happy about this trip at all. But Nephi and the brother just older than him, Sam, are on board, they're believers, they have faith that their father really is a prophet. In the last couple chapters, these four boys are back in Jerusalem trying to get the brass plates, which is some sort of scriptural record. The Lord commanded Lehi to send his sons to go and get it. It's in the possession of a man named Laban. And when Nephi and his brothers tried to get the plates from Laban, they asked for them, they offered to buy them. Laban tried to kill them. And so they had to run for their lives. Laman and Lemuel were so upset by this that they got a rod and started beating Nephi and Sam, and perhaps would have killed them, except an angel appeared and said, "Stop it! You've got a job to do, go get those plates." But Laman and Lemuel are still not on board with this. They don't believe the Lord is going to help them get these plates. And so here at the beginning of chapter 4, Nephi is going to give them a little pep talk to try to convince them they should do this. So verse 1. "And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, Let us go up again unto Jerusalem. Let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, or even his tens of thousands?" I don't know if Nephi is exaggerating here, or if Laban actually has tens of thousands of people under him. It sounds to me like he's saying, it doesn't matter how many people Laban can command, the Lord is still mightier than him. Verse 2, "Therefore let us go up, let us be strong like unto Moses. For he truly spake unto the waters of the Red Sea, and they divided hither and thither. And our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground. And the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Now behold, ye know that this is true, and ye also know that an angel has spoken unto you. Wherefore can ye doubt? Let us go up. The Lord is able to deliver us, even as our fathers, and to destroy Laban, even as the Egyptians." It's interesting here, Laman and Lemuel have no faith in God. I mean, they just saw an angel and they still don't believe. And yet, the story of Moses parting the Red Sea apparently is just accepted factual history for them. In modern times, if someone doesn't believe in God, it seems unlikely they would accept that as a factual account. And yet, that seems to work here, as we see in verse 4. "Now when I had spoken these words, they were yet wroth, and did still continue to murmur. Nevertheless, they did follow me up until we came without the walls of Jerusalem." So they come as far as the walls of the city and say, "All right, Nephi, we came back to the city. That's what the angel said to do, so let's wait here and see what happens." Verse 5, "And it was by night, and I caused that they should hide themselves without the walls. And after they had hid themselves, I, Nephi, crept into the city and went forth towards the house of Laban. And I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do." So in the previous chapter, Nephi and his brothers tried all kinds of things, and they made plans, and they tried their plans, and their plans failed. This time, Nephi has no plan. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he believes absolutely that the Lord is able to fulfill his promises. And trusting in the Lord, he's just walking into the city at night, where he knows there's a man who's trying to kill him, and he believes everything's going to work out okay. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I went forth, and as I came near unto the house of Laban, I beheld a man, and he had fallen to the earth before me, for he was drunken with wine. And when I came to him, I found that it was Laban." Dun, dun, dun! So Nephi is creeping through the city in the dark of night and finds Laban pass out drunk on the ground. And what's this? Verse 9, "And I beheld his sword, and drew it forth from the sheath thereof. And the hilt thereof was of pure gold, and the workmanship thereof was exceedingly fine. And I saw that the blade thereof was of the most precious steel. We don't know exactly how old Nephi is. He's referred to himself, though, in previous chapters as being exceedingly young. So he's definitely not an adult at this point, and he finds this guy pass out drunk on the ground, and ooh, pretty sword. Verse 10, and it came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban. But I said in my heart, never at any time have I shed the blood of a man. And I shrunk, and would that I might not slay him. And the Spirit said unto me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Yea, and I also knew that he had sought to take away mine own life. Yea, and he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord. And he had also taken away our property. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me again, slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth his righteous purposes. It is better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. So this is a hard moment for Nephi, right? He, up to this point, perhaps the only revelation or inspiration from God he's received has been in an answer to a prayer, should I go along with my dad into the wilderness? And he got a yes. And then when he prayed in behalf of his brothers, that's when he first started hearing the voice of the Lord. And now the Lord, whom he has trusted in, whom he knows has given the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is commanding him to kill Laban. And this is a hard moment for Nephi. He went believing that the Lord would deliver Laban into his hands, but failing to grasp the reality of what that might mean. Verse 14, and now when I, Nephi, had heard these words, I remembered the words of the Lord which he spake unto me in the wilderness, saying that inasmuch as thy seed shall keep my commandments, they shall prosper in the land of promise. So that's what I referred to before as the promise. We see this promise repeated over and over and over. Nephi, when he was praying on behalf of his brothers in the wilderness, was told by the Lord that inasmuch as you keep the commandments, you'll be prospered in the land of promise. And inasmuch as you or your brethren rebel against me, you'll be cut off from my presence. And so he's remembering that. Verse 15, yea, and I also thought that they could not keep the commandments of the Lord according to the law of Moses, save they should have the law. So Nephi is realizing these brass plates, they contain the book of Moses. They contain the scriptures. This is how we know who God is and how to worship him. And if we're going to go off to this promised land and raise our children there, they need the word of the Lord to guide them, or we're going to be in serious trouble. Verse 16, and I knew that the law was engraven upon the plates of brass. And again, I knew that the Lord had delivered Laban into my hands for this cause, that I might obtain the records according to his commandments. Therefore, I did obey the voice of the Spirit, and took Laban by the hair of the head, and I smote off his head with his own sword. Yikes, this is pretty intense, and I can't really imagine what Nephi must be feeling right now. This is a very surreal experience, and as though what's happened already is not challenging enough, what happens next is I'm sure, downright nerve-wracking for Nephi. Here we go, verse 19. And after I had smitten off his head with his own sword, I took the garments of Laban and put them upon mine own body, yea, even every whit, and I did gird on his armor about my loins. So Nephi's just killed Laban, now he takes his clothes and puts them on. Verse 20, and after I had done this, I went forth unto the treasury of Laban. And as I went forth towards the treasury of Laban, behold, I saw the servant of Laban, who had the keys of the treasury. And I commanded him in the voice of Laban that he should go with me into the treasury. So Nephi's trying his hand at impersonation here. Let's see how that goes for him. Verse 21, and he supposed me to be his master Laban. So far, so good. For he beheld the garments and also the sword girded about my loins. Nephi really likes this sword. Verse 22, and he spake unto me concerning the elders of the Jews, he knowing that his master Laban had been out by night among them. And I spake unto him as if it had been Laban. And I also spake unto him that I should carry the engravings, which were upon the plates of brass, to my elder brethren, who were without the walls. And I also bade him that he should follow me. And he, supposing that I spake of the brethren of the church, and that I was truly that Laban whom I had slain, wherefore he did follow me. And he spake unto me many times concerning the elders of the Jews, and I went forth unto my brethren who were without the walls. So now Nephi has the plates that he's come for, and he's dressed up like Laban, and he's got this chatty servant along with him, and they're going out outside of the city walls, And Nephi, I assume at this point, still has no plan in his head. He has no idea how this will play out, but so far so good. Keep on keeping on, you know. Verse 28. And it came to pass that when Laman saw me, he was exceedingly frightened, and also Lemuel and Sam. And they fled from before my presence, and they supposed it was Laban, and that he had slain me and had sought to take away their lives also. So Nephi's plan has worked great in that he's fooled the servant of Laban, but he's now also fooled his brothers, and they are running away from him. Verse 29, and it came to pass that I called after them, and they did hear me, wherefore they did cease to flee from my presence. And it came to pass that when the servant of Laban beheld my brethren, he began to tremble, and he was about to flee from before me and return to the city of Jerusalem. Uh-oh, that's bad news. Verse 31, and now I, Nephi, being a man large in stature, and also having received much strength of the Lord, therefore I did seize upon the servant of Laban and held him that he should not flee. Get back here. Do not go back to this to Jerusalem. We can't have that. Verse 32. And it came to pass that I spake with him, that if he would hearken unto my words, as the Lord liveth and as I live, even so that if he would hearken unto our words, we would spare his life. So Nephi says, listen to me, I promise, if you do what we say, you won't get hurt. Verse 33, and I spake unto him even with an oath, that he need not fear, that he should be a free man like unto us, if he should go down into the wilderness with us. And I also spake unto him, saying, surely the Lord hath commanded us to do this thing, and shall we not be diligent in keeping the commandments of the Lord? Therefore, if thou wilt go down into the wilderness to my father, thou shalt have place with us. And it came to pass that Zoram did take courage at the words which I spake. Now Zoram was the name of the servant, and he promised that he would go down into the wilderness unto our father. Yea, and he also made an oath unto us that he would tarry with us from that time forth. So Nephi has made an oath to Zoram, that's the name of the servant, as it turns out, that if you come with us into the wilderness, we won't hurt you, and you don't have to be a servant anymore. And Zoram makes an oath in return that he will do this thing. Verse 36, now we were desirous that he should tarry with us for this cause, that the Jews might not know concerning our flight into the wilderness, lest they should pursue us and destroy us. And it came to pass that when Zoram had made an oath unto us, our fears did cease concerning him. This is an interesting thing culturally that is, at least in my experience, lacking in the modern world, at least in Western or at least in American culture. These people are strangers, right? Nephi and Zoram, they've never met each other, but they make an oath to each other, and then they trust each other, absolutely. And throughout the Book of Mormon, we see this is the case. Even people who have a deep hatred for each other, if they make an oath, if they promise to do something, they go through with it. And people who break their oaths are very rare, and they are definitely villains. Verse 38, and it came to pass that we took the plates of brass and the servant of Laban, and departed into the wilderness, and journeyed unto the tent of our father. Mission accomplished. So the four brothers, they got the plates, and they got another person added to their traveling party. Now they're going back to meet up with Lehi and Sariah. And in the next chapter, we'll see how they've been doing while their sons have been off in Jerusalem.